I'm John Moe. This is Future Tense from American Public Media for Friday, September 10th, 2010. The idea of a computer being able to read your thoughts and translate them into words seems like something from science fiction or fantasy, but it's happening now in Utah. Bradley Greger is with the Department of Bioengineering at the University of Utah. He and his colleagues have found a way to translate brainwaves into words. How does this work?
Well, basically what we do is we take a grid of microelectrodes, which are basically fine wires, very thin wires, and place them on the surface of the brain over the areas of the brain that control speech. And that enables us to record the electrical activity of the brain at a very small scale. On the micro scale, there are these little fluctuations of electricity that are correlated with the information that's being processed. And it's by looking at those fluctuations in electricity, we can determine what is going on in the brain, what the brain is processing, what the brain is thinking about. And our goal then is to use this sort of technology to restore communication to somebody who has lost that ability.
Explain the testing procedure that you went through.
The device was implanted, and then we simply go into the hospital room with them on a daily basis and ask them to say various words. And on the first few days, we basically do that and then record the data and then perform our analysis to figure out how the electrical activity correlates with the spoken words. But then what we really want to be able to do is come back on subsequent days and have them again do the same sort of thing. But now we just run the activity recorded from the brain through our algorithm now.
So at that point, they're not speaking. They're just thinking the word and you're watching to see if there's any matches in the waves.
We actually still have them speak.
Okay.
And this is a kind of a subtle distinction, but I think it's important. For somebody who is, you know, severely paralyzed or locked in, they're not thinking the word or imagining the word. They're trying to speak. The signals can't get out of the brain and into the muscles that they need to control. So it's not as if we want to decode imagined word. We want to decode really what they're speaking.
Okay. So it's like on a stereo, like the stereo still works. It's just the speaker that isn't working.
Exactly. The speaker is like unplugged. It's disconnected.
Right.
And so we're just tapping into the stereo system before that disconnect.
How accurate is it?
For just a couple of words, it was quite accurate, about 90% at the best performance. As we got up to about 10 words, it dropped down to about 50% accuracy. But what we really need to do to make this something that's viable for a paralyzed patient to use is get that accuracy up above 90%, probably for on the order of, you know, 50, 60, 70 words and or letters.
How far away is this technology from actually helping people?
Well, one of the neat things about this is that the technology is actually quite simple. The device itself that we're implanting is based upon these electrocorticography grids that have been implanted in patients for 50 years. So it's a very tried and true technology. So that actually is in our favor. It makes it much simpler to get the approval of FDA and other regulatory agencies to do this sort of work. And now that we've got kind of an improved understanding for the decode algorithm, we can improve that too in relatively short term. So we're hoping over the next 2 or 3 years, we'll do a little bit more research, prove that we can get the kind of accuracy we need with the number of words to be of benefit. And then we'll go to FDA and see if we can't get approval to do a feasibility trial in a truly paralyzed patient.
That's Bradley Greger at the University of Utah. Other stories we're following at futuretense.publicradio.org. There's a new clickjacking scam on Facebook. If you click a link called Cheerleaders Gone Wild, you'll be flooded with spam and you'll have been marked as liking Cheerleaders Gone Wild, and all your friends will know it. Apple posted guidelines for new apps in its App Store. Steve Jobs said the company will be more selective in its approvals. We have over 250,000 apps, he said. We don't need any more fart apps. Google's new Instant feature lets you see search results as you type out what you're looking for. The company says this can save you 2 to 5 seconds per search. We asked our Twitter followers what they'd do with that extra 2 to 5 seconds. Here are some of their answers.
I'm going to use my extra Google Instant Seconds to blink more. I'd really been letting that slide, and my eyes are like raisins.
I plan on finally putting all the boxes of pictures into photo albums and then learning how to juggle with the rest of my time.
I'm going to finally get around to writing that great American novel that I've been kicking around.
I'm going to take those extra seconds and put them in my time bank so later I can spend 10 minutes in my memory palace while my body eats chocolate donuts.
That was Paul Goody of Seattle, Leah Liebergen from Greenberg, Wisconsin, Rebecca Frejo from Phoenix, and Casey St. Ange from New York. You can find us on Twitter. We're at Future Tense APM. This is Future Tense. I'm John Moe.